Well, good evening to all of you. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading there in just 1 second. Before we read, I want to do something that I'm not very good at. I don't know if you can tell I'm not very good at this, but these personal comments, I'm not always very good at expressing myself, talking about how kind you guys have been to me and how much this week has meant to me. So I apologize if I come off a little bit clunky, but I really, really do appreciate everything that you guys have done for me this week. There's been so much warmth and hospitality. You guys have been so cordial. It's been great to get some Texas food. Y'all were so worried about me having the same thing. I could have had whatever, any of the meals I had, I could have had that all week long and it would have been fine. It was absolutely wonderful. I really enjoyed getting to hang with Austin and his family and really appreciate them. Very good to meet you guys and spend some time with y'all. And I'm very glad that you guys have Austin. It's kind of hard to find preachers now, and I hope you guys know that you guys have a gem in him and his family. I hope he's a blessing to you guys, and I'm sure he is. But thank you for the kindness that you've shown to me. It will not be forgotten, and I really appreciate all of you and how you're laboring for the Lord here in this place. Such a wonderful thing to see. Tonight, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. And I love what we're going to do tonight, because tonight we get to talk about my favorite Bible character and one of my all-time favorite Bible stories. And I hope that by the end of our study, then this character is one of your favorite Bible characters too. More than anything else, though, I hope that when you consider what she does and the kind of person she is, it will inspire you to set the same kind of example that she sets. That's why we're here this week. We're talking about our example. We're talking about our families. We're talking about our mission as husbands and fathers and mothers and daughters and siblings and all of those things that we are to all the people that we love. And we're talking about how our lives leave an indelible impression upon the people that we love. And I hope that her story will inspire you to leave a great example like she did. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, the Bible tells us this familiar story. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I read that story, it always is a great comfort to me. It's a great comfort to know that even back in the first century, and even among people that Jesus knew personally, there were some people who just struggled with being worried and frazzled and upset and distracted, even back then. And that's Martha. She is worried and distracted, worried about all this housework that's going on, worried about being a good hostess, and she's just not quite focusing the way she ought to. And that's comforting to me. It's comforting to know that even back then, people were a little bit like me, and Jesus wasn't too hard on them. And so in this story, Martha becomes probably one of the most relatable Bible characters ever. So worried about all these little things. But I do want you to appreciate that this story isn't actually about Martha at all. And it's funny, we come to this passage because we want to make a point about Martha, right? We come here because we want to preach a sermon about how we shouldn't be distracted and how we need to focus on the one thing that really matters. But I already preached that last night, so I want you to appreciate that this story is not really about what Martha does. It's really more about what Mary does. It's about the attitude she shows and the choice she makes. In verse 41, "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" That language there is interesting. Jesus says Mary chose the good part. Other translations, or if you look at those words, other translations might say that she chose the good meal or the good food. And so what Jesus is doing is he's actually contrasting what Martha chose with what Mary chose, right? Martha chose to focus on her kitchen and her physical food that she was providing for her guests. And on the flip side of that, Mary is the one who's choosing to neglect all of that and focus on eating this spiritual feast that the teacher is providing. And Jesus looks at Martha and says, Mary chose the good meal. And that's what I love about Mary, that she chose the good part. Well, that is not supposed to look like that. I don't know why it looks like that. That's funny. It says, have you truly listened? At least that's what it should say anyway. That's probably my bad. But it says that Mary chose the good part. And I want you to see in the story that what we see in Mary is that she is a person who truly listens to what Jesus says. Her ears are really open. And there are certain things that she does in this story that allows her to be the kind of person that chooses the good part. It allows her to be the kind of person that truly listens to Jesus. I want you to see, first of all, that Mary, she chooses to stop, which is something that's so hard to do so often. There's plenty of work to do in her house. There's plenty of guests that are over. There's plenty of chores that need doing. And yet Mary, on this day, when the teacher comes and begins teaching in her living room, she decides, I don't care about any of those chores. I'm going to stop and sit at his feet and soak in everything that he says. I'm sure that under normal circumstances, Mary wasn't somebody who shirked the chores. I'm sure she pitched in and helped out just like Martha did. But not this day. This was a day to stop, because the teacher was right there in their home. And I want you to appreciate, not only does she choose to stop, but she chooses to listen closely. Mary might have done, she could have done what you and I so often do, where we say, okay, I know that this is an important thing, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of half listen, right? And so I'm going to be in the kitchen, I'm going to be doing all the dishes, and I'm going to listen into the living room and catch some stuff that he says while I'm doing the other chores, right? I'm going to kind of get the best of both worlds. But she doesn't do that. She says, I'm going to stop so I can listen closely. And so often we don't listen closely, right? How many times have you been watching the game when your wife comes and tries to say something to you and you're listening, but you're not really listening? Or your kids are playing in the other room and you're listening, but you're not really listening to hear what they're saying. You're listening to hear if you hear a crash or a crack or a scream, right? You're not really listening closely to what's going on. Mary says, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to get the best of both worlds. I'm going to stop and do nothing else but sit at his feet, because that's the only way I can really listen close. And the other amazing thing about Mary is that when she stops and when she listens, she actually chooses to believe what she hears. And that is the most amazing thing about Mary to me, is that she is a person with faith. She is a person who hears what Jesus says and she accepts it and believes it. And that is something that sets her apart from other people. There were other people in Jesus' time who stopped and listened closely, right? You could say the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all did that same thing, right? They were doing other stuff. They stopped. They listened closely to what Jesus said, but they weren't really interested in accepting what he said. They were listening so they could trap him or twist what he said or try to find something else wrong with him. They were listening with an agenda, but that's not Mary. Mary listens with a heart that is ready to accept and believe what she hears. And so you have this beautiful picture of her sitting at the Lord's feet, intently focused on him, and being the kind of person that truly chooses to accept what she hears. That is an amazing thing. Mary is somebody who really listens. And that seems like a small thing. I mean, there are other Bible stories that we could read about people who do much more amazing things, right? I mean, David goes out and he kills a giant. Daniel gets thrown into a lion's den because he won't stop praying, not even for just 30 days. He gets thrown into a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won't bow down. And so they get thrown into a fiery furnace. That's the kind of stuff we talk about at VBS. That's the kind of stuff we make movies about. Nobody makes a movie about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet to hear a lesson. Nobody would watch that movie. But it's such a critical thing that she does. Consider, let's see if this works. There it is. Ooh, that's going to be hard to read. She becomes a living, breathing example of what you read in James chapter 1 when James talks about not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Listen to what he says there. He says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." And what I want you to appreciate that's so amazing about Mary is that when she sits there and listens, truly listens at the feet of Jesus, and when she truly accepts what he has to say, she becomes the kind of person that is not just a forgetful hearer, but she becomes an effectual doer. Mary lets the teaching of Jesus take root deep in her heart. And for that reason, it changes her life completely. I want to propose to you that this is something that we actually see. We see a concrete example of this later in Mary's life. And this is actually my favorite Bible story. John chapter 12, go ahead and go there with me. We see Mary here in another story. And we see in this story how when she sits there and she really listens and she accepts what Jesus says and she actually believes it, it changes everything about the kind of person she is. Listen to what it says. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there. And Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." And so here you are at the end of Jesus' life. He's about to go to the cross. And he's sitting at their house in Bethany. And of course, Lazarus is reclining at the table with his friend, very grateful that he raised him from the dead. Or maybe not grateful, depends on how you read that story. You know, if he was already in paradise, probably not happy about being brought back here. Anyway, he's reclining at the table with Jesus, either grateful or ungrateful. And Martha is doing what, of course? Again, you see Martha serving, being the good hostess, doing what she always does. But then Mary comes in and she engages in this absolutely astounding act. She comes to Jesus and she takes a bottle of perfume that's worth, we're told later, 300 denarii. Now, if you listen to people who know more about this than I do, they say that a denarii is 1 day's wage for the regular worker, right? So if you think about 1 day's wage for the regular worker, 300 denarii, that's 300 days' wages is what this bottle of perfume is worth. That's, and I did the math, 82% of the average worker's annual income. Think about that. Think about what you make, and think about what 82% of that is. And that's what that bottle of perfume is worth. So she takes that bottle of perfume, and she breaks it open, and she pours all of it on Jesus. And I just love that act. I love that story because, I mean, it would have been so easy for her to just open the top of it and dab a little bit on his scalp. That would have been a gift. She could have taken half the bottle and poured it on him, and that would have done the trick, right? But she doesn't do that. She says, "Nope, I'm going to take everything in this bottle, and I'm going to pour all of it on Jesus. I'm going to waste all of it." And everybody's coughing and their eyes are watering because the house is filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What is that? What kind of person does something like that? I mean, in essence, what Mary has done is basically take $40,000, light it on fire just so Jesus can warm his feet. That's what she's done. She just wasted 40 grand, if not more. What kind of person does something like that? What could have possibly possessed her to do something that was so radical and so extreme? If you read further down in the story, even Jesus' apostles are struggling to wrap their minds around this decision. They can't make sense of it. Obviously, Judas is upset because he wants to steal from the money box, but other accounts of this tell us that the other disciples were mad about it too. What in the world is Mary thinking by doing something like this? And I contend that what we see in Mary here is that we see that she is a person who has been listening. She is a person who's been around Jesus. She has heard his teaching. And when she heard what he said, she accepted it and she believed it. And this is the fruit of that. Because the only person who would do something like this is somebody who really believes what Jesus says. Can I show you that? Can I show you, when we look at what Mary does here, can I show you how she shows us that there are some teachings of Jesus that she absolutely, undeniably believes and accepts, some that we struggle to? What does Mary show us by doing this? She shows us that when Jesus says things like he says in Matthew 6, she really believes it. There, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Mary shows us that when she was around Jesus and she heard him teaching stuff like this, she actually believed what he said. Because she looks at this vial of perfume and she's like, what's going to happen to this? A thief could break in and steal, moth or rust. I guess moth and rust don't destroy perfume, but something could destroy it. It could break. There could be an accident. This thing isn't going to last, but what I can do is I can use this to the glory of God, and I can store up for myself treasures in heaven. Mary shows us that she believes what Jesus says about storing treasure in heaven. She also believes what Jesus says in Luke 12, where it says this, the parable of the rich fool. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?" So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Mary is the person who understands it's not important that I have riches here on earth. What's important is that I am rich toward God. And what better way to be rich toward God than to take this, maybe this most valuable possession I ever have, and just waste it on him. But not really wasted. Do you see what Mary is showing us? By doing this, she shows us that she listened to what Jesus said and she really believed it. And she shows us more than that. Matthew 26, verse 12, Jesus will say at the end of this story in another account, "For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial." What Mary shows us, and what I believe about Mary, is that when Jesus has been saying throughout his ministry over and over and over and over again, "I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die," and everybody in his orbit isn't getting it, she is the only one who knows what's happening. Mary is the only one who understands that Jesus is about to die. She is the only one who has accepted it and really believes that it's going to happen. And that's why she does this, to prepare him for his burial. She's actually listening and accepting what he says. Mary shows us that she believes what Jesus says about worry and distraction and faith in Matthew chapter 6. There, Jesus said, "Do not worry, saying, 'What then will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Don't you see Mary in that passage? She's not worried. She's not distracted. She's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I think on that last note, you can just think about what's happening in this house and you can be amazed by it. In this moment, she is neglecting all the housework again, and she's not frazzled, she's not worried. In a moment of intense zeal, she totally wastes tens of thousands of dollars and she's not bothered by it. It seems that she knows this may be the very last time she sees Jesus before he dies, and she is not overwhelmed with fear and worry. She shows us that she really does believe what Jesus says. It's not just that she can repeat his teachings. It's not just that she knows what he said. It's not just that she's around when he preaches. But when he says something, she believes it. She really listens to it. Mary is the kind of person who drops everything when Jesus speaks. She's the kind of person who listens closely and intently to everything that he says. And she is the kind of person that believes what he says. No matter how outlandish it seems, no matter how countercultural, no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how scary or challenging, she really listens to what he says and believes it. And that is why she is one of my favorite Bible characters. Mary is not called to sit in a den of lions or to be thrown into a fiery furnace or fight a giant. But she does so well what every single person on earth has been called to do. To live with faith and to truly believe the message that they're given. Mary looks intently at the perfect law of liberty. And instead of turning away and forgetting it and just going on and living however she's going to live, she becomes an effectual doer. Because she believes what she hears. And that's an important question for us to consider. Is that what I am? Am I an effectual doer? Am I somebody who actually listens? Am I somebody who actually believes what Jesus says? If we are going to be those kind of people, then we need to do exactly what Mary did. Just like Mary did back in Luke chapter 10, we need to do the same thing that she did. If we are really going to listen, then we need to stop just like she did. And that means we need to be the kind of people who make time to dive into the Word of God. We need to be the kind of people who are not so distracted by everything that's going on around us that we don't make time to consider what God has said to us. We have to make time to stop, because you're never going to really be able to listen to Jesus if you don't make time to stop. And if we're going to be like Mary, we also have to listen closely. It is shocking to me that of all the people in Jesus' orbit, Mary is the only one who really sees his death coming. And she sees it because she's been listening closely. And despite the fact that those other 12 apostles were with him every day, despite the fact that they heard so many sermons, despite the fact that Jesus over and over and over again said, "I'm going to die. Understand this, guys." They weren't really listening closely. They didn't really hear what he said. But Mary did. And I think that's a good question for us to ask. Not only do we stop, but are we the kind of people who really listen closely? When we pick up the book and we consider what the Holy Spirit says to us, are we really listening closely? Because I think sometimes we can be more like the 12 apostles and less like Mary. We can be the kind of people who read the book and attend the classes, and sit for the sermons, and go to everything that we need to go to every single night of the gospel meeting, and yet, maybe we're not really listening to what the Spirit is saying to us, just like those apostles. You know, if I were to ask you tonight, what's the greatest command? I bet that pretty much everybody in here would be able to tell me what it is, right? Everybody would know the Bible class answer. The greatest command is that you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And you may even be able to quote that passage. You may even be able to get those four things in the right order, which I'm not sure that I did. Did I get those in the right order, heart, soul, mind, and strength? I'm not sure if those are in the right order. You may be able to tell me, hey, by the way, that's found in Matthew chapter 22. And also Jesus adds, there's a second greatest command that's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you might even be able to point out, hey, he also says that on these hang all the law and the prophets. And what that means is that every other command we get in the New Testament is just an explanation of what it means to love God and love others. And you may be able to know all this Bible stuff about that command, but brothers and sisters, have you understood it? Have you considered it? Have you listened closely? Do you just know the Bible class answers, or do you really hear what he's saying? Do you really love God? Do you really love your neighbor as yourself? We can become those kind of people who know all the Bible class answers and know all the academic stuff about it without really listening to what he's saying. If I were to ask you tonight, who walked on water with Jesus? You would know the answer to that. Who walked on water with Jesus? Peter did. And you'd probably be able to tell me all kinds of stuff about it. You'd be able to tell me what chapter it's in, what book it's in. You'd be able to tell me, hey, all kinds of stuff about the story that Peter got out of the boat and the other apostles, they stayed in the boat. So Peter's faith was better than theirs. And he even made it a couple of steps. And you'd say, hey, once he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and the waves, that's when he began to sink. And Jesus pulled him in and said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And you may even be able to say that this was a pattern with Peter, right? That in his life, there were certain moments where he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at other stuff, and that's when he tended to fail in his faith, and he needed to keep his eyes on Jesus. And you may know all those Bible class answers, but have you really listened to what the story's saying? What is that story telling you? That if you truly do have faith in Jesus and you're willing to walk with him, you can do impossible things. That when you truly believe in Jesus and you're willing to walk with him, you don't need to fear anything because he will make sure you stand when there's no rational reason why you should be able to stand. Do you just know the Bible class answers, or are you really listening to what the Spirit is saying? That's what Mary did. She really listened to what Jesus was saying. And to be like Mary, we also have to do that third thing. We have to truly believe what we hear. Again, I just can't get over what happens in John chapter 12 because the actions of Mary there are just breathtaking. That is not something that regular people do. But I want you to appreciate that the reason why Mary does something like this is not because she has a unique personality. And it's not because she just was that kind of, it's not because she just wasn't that kind of person. It's not because she had great parents. It's not because she had a great brother. Mary does this because when Jesus spoke, she truly let the word into her heart and it changed her. That's what Jesus says, or that's what James says. That's what effectual doers do. They look intently at the law of liberty and they abide by it. They live inside of it. And if you want to be that kind of person, if you want to be the kind of person that Mary is, somebody who would do something so scary and so courageous and so wild and outrageous, all you have to do is be the kind of person who opens up this book, reads what it says, and decides, I'm going to believe that this is true, and I'm going to live like it's true. It's a good question for us to ask. Do I really believe the things that I hear in the Word of God? And am I the kind of person who sets that example for those that I love? As we bring this lesson to a close, I want you to think about that question, have you really listened? And I want you to consider what would happen in your life. What would change in your life if the words that you read in God's book, you didn't just hear, you couldn't just regurgitate for a memory verse, but you actually believed that they were true wholeheartedly, 100%. And so what I want to do as we close this evening is I just want to read some passages to you, and I want you to consider whether or not you really do believe what the Bible is saying. Now ignore this, I'm skipping over a big verse. I want to ask you if you really believe what the Bible says. Listen to this, Matthew 5, verse 29. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Do you really believe that? Obviously, not proposing mutilation tonight. Do you really believe that getting rid of the sin in your life is that important. Consider what's said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? Do you really, truly believe that that's true? Titus 3, verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we have been saved? Not because we've done something good, and not because we are doing something good, but the basis of our salvation is the wonderful kindness and grace of our God. Do you really believe that? 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? Do you believe that even when you mess up and even when you fail, if you will simply humble yourself to confess your sins to Him, He is faithful to cleanse your sins over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? That's what it says. He is faithful. Do you believe that? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. That's small too, sorry. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? That a day of resurrection is coming, and those who sleep will not stay asleep, and that we will be changed forever. So often, I think when it comes to the Bible, it's not about digging through the book and trying to figure out what's true. So often the question is whether or not the verses I already know and read and have memorized, whether or not I'm really willing to accept them and live by them. Mary shows us that she's the kind of person who really accepts what she hears. She really listens. What a marvelous life it would be if we chose to be like Mary. We would be the kind of people who walked continuously in the path of righteousness because we understood how important it was. We would be the kind of people who endured even the most intense persecution because we understood the hope that we have for us. We would see ourselves, we would see our lives, we would see our enemy, we would see our God with total clarity. Our hearts would constantly be restored and our hope would be fixed and full. Our lives would be completely transformed. We would be the kind of people that would light $40,000 on fire so we could store up treasures in heaven, even though I'm not sure we could do that exactly that way right now. We would be willing to do it if we would just let His word in and really believe it. And if we did that, we would set an unimaginable example of what true faith looks like for every single person who loves us. You know, Jesus looks at Mary after she pours out that perfume, and he offers one of the best compliments he ever offers in the Gospels. You find this in the Gospel of Matthew, in his account of this in Matthew chapter 26. After Mary does this amazing thing, Jesus looks at her in verse 13, and he says, "Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." And so Mary's true faith becomes a timeless example for all of us to follow. We can always look back at Mary and we can see what happens in the heart of a person who really believes what Jesus says. And I contend that the same will be true of you. That just like Mary, if you choose to listen and truly listen, then maybe decades from now, your spouse, your kids, your grandparents, they will be able to think back on the life that you live. They will be able to reminisce on your faith. And they will be totally inspired by the life that you lived and the example that you set. Because what could be more amazing than living the kind of life that Mary lived? A life that shows it truly believes what Jesus says. And maybe when your family members reminisce on that picture of faith, they'll find the strength they need to live their lives of true faith as well. May it be that we all choose to set that example. An example of true faith where we really do accept and listen to what the Spirit has said. Of course, the first step in listening to what the Spirit says is responding to the gospel call to salvation. Maybe somebody is here this evening and they have not done what they need to do in order to be saved. The Bible says that if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if we're willing to repent of our sins that caused him to go to the cross, and we're willing to confess our faith in him, then we can be baptized in water to have our sins washed away. We can rise to walk in newness of life. If there's anyone here who needs to take that first step, or if we can help anyone else with anything else, we invite you to come to the front. We'll help you while we stand and while we sing.